Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, March 2nd, 2017. And we'll start with a story titled Oakwood Begins Demolition of Meth House, written by Brendan Dennison in Oakwood. The Illinois State Police Meth Task Force, with assistance from the Vermilion Metropolitan Enforcement Group and the Oakwood Police Department, began tearing down a trailer Wednesday involved in a methamphetamine production. According to the OPD Facebook post Wednesday, more than 150 items of meth waste were removed from the trailer on Lee Street in Oakwood, which was court-ordered for demolition due to heavy contamination from a meth lab. Oakwood Police Chief Josh Bennett said Ernest J. Stinchcomb, who was found responsible for the lab, pleaded guilty to meth manufacturing for 6 years in prison. Court docs state the 26-year-old man was arrested in August of 2016 on charges of manufacturing less than 15 grams of meth and possession of meth manufacturing materials and accepted a plea deal in November of last year. Bennett added no one had moved into the trailer following his absence, and they received information about studies regarding meth lab contamination. Essentially, once a lab is used in any structure, the chemicals permeate everything, Bennett said. Ceiling tiles, flooring, light switches, everything. It's almost impossible to clean. He added the case was forwarded to their city attorney, and eventually they received the order for demolition. We did not want somebody to have the trailer be sold to and either not care or not know there was a meth being cooked there and end up getting sick, Bennett said. The OPD's Facebook post continued, "This will be a continuous endeavor in the village. If a meth lab is discovered in a structure within village limits, the village of Oakwood will seek an order of demolition." Okay, the next story is titled, "Our Vermilion County Campaign to Promote Local Strengths, Video Contests of Favorite County Activities to be Held," in Danville. Vermilion County officials announced a new promotion campaign Wednesday and are asking area residents to submit homemade videos of their favorite things about the county. Vermilion County Board Chairman Mike Moran said in a release, "We have always had a tendency to unnecessarily beat ourselves up in what is truly a great county." He added a strategic planning process the county underwent last year resulted in a great deal of feedback asking them to promote a positive self-image, and they have since taken several steps in a coordinated campaign to address that issue with other community entities. Moran announced the unveiling of the Our Vermilion County campaign in the press release and said the county has shot several promotional videos highlighting things to be proud of, such as local amenities, events, recreational activities, and existing businesses. These videos will be rolled out once a quarter and published on the Vermilion County YouTube channel, according to Moran. He added they will be shared through various social media, such as the county's Facebook page. Moran said the first video will feature Danville Metal Stamping and Bobette Steely Hegeler Cancer Center as two premier facilities of Vermilion County. He also said new videos will be published in conjunction with the campaign's video contest. "We are asking members of the public to submit homemade videos about their favorite things in the county," Moran said. "The submissions will be judged," Moran continued, "and the winning videos will be highlighted on the county's YouTube channel. The video's producer also will receive a prize package provided by area sponsors." The quarterly contest began at midnight today, ending before midnight on May 1st. Subsequent contests will be held starting the second day of June, September, and December months, and ending on the first day of the August, November, and January months. A link to the contest rules can be found on the county's website at www.vercounty.org. Okay, the next story is titled, "City to Add to Public Nuisance Tows," written by Jennifer Bailey in Danville. In about any neighborhood in the city, one can see an inoperable or abandoned vehicle at some point. A neighbor might have a full garage or no garage and no and no place to park a vehicle that no longer runs. The inoperable vehicle could sit on a city street forever until the city takes action, said Corporation Counsel Dave Wessner. They can sit there for a long time, Wessner said. Members of the City Council's Public Services Committee Tuesday night recommended approving the addition of two more violations to the city's public nuisance ordinance, inoperable and abandoned motor vehicles. The full City Council will act in the amendment next week. Public nuisance violations result in the seizure and impoundment of motor vehicles immediately. Penalties are also proposed to increase for when a vehicle is seized or impounded when used in certain violations, such as also involving drugs, illegal dumping, and loud vehicles. The $300 penalty for a first offense would increase to $500, and the penalty for a second and subsequent offenses would increase from $500 to $750. City officials said the increases are to further discourage the violations. Public Safety Director Larry Thomason said about the inoperable and abandoned vehicles, "This happens on a regular basis. The officers do tow a lot of vehicles. We're trying to work it just to tow it rather than cite the owner of the vehicle," Thomason said. Inoperable vehicles may have a flat tire, engine not working, or they do not have a current sticker. Abandoned vehicles can be on private property or in the city right-of-way and not moved. Police officers have had to wait 7 days to have the vehicles towed. The city also at one time had a police officer dedicated to inoperable vehicle violations. Wessner said the city continues to see a lot of repeat offenders. $300 is not impacting people, he said. But he also said, "I don't like pricing ourselves out of collectability. By increasing the fines, the goal is to see a reduction in the amount of these offenses." Thomason said the hope is to detour people from leaving these vehicles in neighborhoods. He also supports the penalty fine increases. "That saves a lot of personnel time, Thomason added about determining whether the violations meets the first, second, or third levels. It will make those determinations very simplified. The majority of the public nuisance tows of vehicles come from drug violations and operating a vehicle with a suspended driver's license, according to city officials. Also Tuesday, committee members heard Mayor Scott Eisenhower talk about carpet replacement occurring soon and a back wall facet being constructed due to significant water damage in the city council's chambers inside the Robert E. Jones Municipal Building. Some flooding occurred a few months ago. They also heard Thomason say about the two ambulance services in the city, Carl's Arrow and Presences Pro, there have been a few kinks to work out, but they are doing a good job for the community. They also recommended authorizing a $6,400 monthly contract for dedicated fiber internet connection, fiber Ethernet network services, and telephone services with Comcast for the time period of June of 2017 to May 31st, 2020. Eisenhower said the city has been paying about $80,000 annually for a hybrid system. The new fiber network system will cost the city $76,800 a year. He added servers will be located out of a small number of locations, and the city will see stronger speeds and stronger network. Eisenhower told Alderman the city could have received a little better discount with a 5-year contract instead of 3, but with how fast technology changes, city officials wanted to go with the shorter contract. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Phyllis Ann Thompson, 82, of Georgetown, passed away on Sunday, February 26, 2017. Visitation will be from 10 to noon Friday, March 3rd, at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville. Services will be at noon at Pape's with Pastor Ramey Gordon officiating. Burial will follow at Oak Hill Cemetery. Messages and memories may be left at www.papefuneral.com. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in Phyllis's name to the Alzheimer's Association. William Bill Dean Russell, 76, of Westville, passed away at 4:40 a.m. on Friday, February 24th, in Pensacola, Florida, after a long illness. Graveside services 12 noon on Saturday, March 4th, at Greenwood Cemetery in Danville, with Chris Lawler officiating. Military rites accorded by American Legion Post 210. Visitation from 5 to 7 p.m. on March 4th, Friday, at Robeson Chapel in Gatlin. Memorials can be made to the Vermilion County Humane Society. Viola Kakmar, 96, of Gallatin, Tennessee, formerly of Danville, passed away at 10:56 a.m. Tuesday, February 28th, at Gallatin Healthcare Center. Services, a celebration of Viola Kakmar life will be held at 11:30 a.m. Saturday, March 4th, at Northside Church of Christ, 17167 East 2750 North Road, Bismarck, Illinois. Burial will follow the service in Sutset Memorial Park. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. Friday, March 3rd, at Northside Church of Christ. Memorials may be made to the Alzheimer's Association. The family has entrusted the Blurton Funeral Home in Hoopston to assist them in honoring Viola's life. Michael William Casey, 45, born in Danville, passed away on Friday, February 17th, in Fort Myers, Florida, where he resided since 1994. A memorial service was held at 6:30 p.m. on Monday, February 20th, at the Baptist Church of Estero, 20300 Trailside Road, Estero, Florida, 33928. If you are sending flowers, the family would prefer plants instead of flowers. A memorial service will be held in Illinois at a later date. Details to be announced via www.mullinsmemorial.com. Opal M. Woodyard, 93, of Danville, passed away peacefully in her home surrounded by loved ones on Tuesday, February 28th. Visitation will be held Friday, March 3rd, from 10 to 11 a.m. at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Service will be held immediately following at 11 a.m. Entombment will be at Sunset Memorial Park. Mickey Carrington, 64, of Danville, died at 5:45 p.m. Thursday, February 23rd, in Danville. Memorial services for the U.S. Navy veteran will be at 2 p.m. on Saturday in the community room at the Danville Veterans Housing, 520 Veterans Way, Danville. Wartvert Funeral Services, 3 South Hodge Street in Tilton, is in charge of the arrangements. Gary N. Gillens, 73, of Wellington, passed away on Wednesday, March 1st, at Presence Covenant Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. on Saturday, March 4th, at Knapp Funeral Home in Milford. The Reverend Gary Milton and the Reverend Brent Zastro will officiate. Burial will be at Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. Friday, March 3rd, at Knapp Funeral Home in Milford. Memorials may be made to Wellington Greer Fire Department or Milford Bearcat Boosters. Shanta C. Gooden, 42, of Danville, died at 1:32 a.m. Sunday, February 26th, at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. Funeral services will be at noon Friday at New Life Church of Faith, 1419th, North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Minister David Moore will officiate. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery in Danville. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon Friday at the church. Lincoln Sons Funeral Home, 304 East William Street in Danville, is in charge of the arrangements. Doris Hammond, 88, of Olivet, died at 5:31 a.m. Friday, February 24th, at Champaign County Nursing Home in Urbana. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. Saturday at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. James Blue will officiate. Visitation will be from 5 to 8 p.m. Friday at the funeral home. Dolores Philpott, 84, of Danville, died at 7:58 a.m. Saturday, February 25th, at Presence Covenant Medical Center in Urbana. Funeral services will be at noon on Friday at Greater Shiloh Baptist Church, 609 North Bowman Avenue in Danville. Pastor Steve Perkins will officiate. Cremation will follow after the funeral. Visitation will be from 1 to 6 p.m. today, March 2nd, at Leek & Sons Funeral Home, 304 East Williams Street in Danville, with family present from 5 to 6 p.m. And Beverly Stearns, 93, of Danville, died at 6 a.m. Wednesday, March 1st, at Colonial Manor in Danville. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. on Saturday, March 4th, at Sunset Funeral Home, 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Kel Boyd will officiate. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Saturday at the funeral home. Okay, the next story is titled On the Brink of Spring, Garden Day Festival Gets Plant Lovers Ready, written by Mary Wyckoff, and there's a picture of members of the University of Illinois Extension Master Gardeners get silent auction baskets ready for the Garden Day and Spring Festival on March 11th. From left to right is Cassie Mitchell, Julie Colby, and Sandy McElroy. Okay, from Danville. Prompted by the recent mild weather, gardeners are itching to get their hands dirty. Until spring actually arrives, however, plant lovers can get some ideas at the University of Illinois Extension Garden Day Workshop and Spring Festival. For a lot of people, this is how they kick off spring, said Jenny Hanrahan, Horticulture Program Coordinator with the Extension. It's a lot of fun. People go home and with a bag full of great stuff. The annual Garden Day features speakers who entertain and educate, a variety of vendors to shop, a made-from-scratch lunch, silent auction, door prizes, and a raffle room. Vermilion County Master Gardeners plan this year's event for 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, March 11th at Danville Area Community College's Bremer Center. The Spring Festival portion is open to walk-ins at no charge and includes a silent auction, 50 raffle baskets, and garden-themed vendors. You don't have to stay, Hanrahan said. You can come shop, wander around, and see the spring things. It's a lot of fun. However, if you wish to listen to the speakers, enjoy lunch prepared by DACC's culinary arts students, and receive a bag filled with garden information and goodies, the price is $25. This event was sold out the last several years with no room for walk-ins, so people are encouraged to sign up early. The event will feature two programs in the morning, followed by keynote speaker author Doug Talamy at 1 p.m. He is a professor of the Department of Entomology and Wildlife Ecology at the University of Delaware, Newark, and has been called the guru of habitat gardening movement. Talamy has said, we can no longer view plants only as ornaments, but must consider all their roles when selecting them for our landscapes. Many homeowners are concerned that natives are prone to insect damage, messy, unattractive, and cannot be used formally. And I just lost my place, so you're going to have to give me a second. It just jumped on me. Sorry about that. Messy, unattractive, and cannot be used formally. However, Talamy will dispel these misconceptions and suggest ways to make your property a showpiece without losing its ecological function in the local ecosystem. Talamy suggests having something blooming every week from early spring through late autumn so birds and pollinators have a steady diet. This will create a living space that works with nature, providing a healthy and therapeutic environment for both homeowner and wildlife. The morning programs include, the first program will be Garden Trends with DACC horticulture educator Amanda Crabb. She will discuss current garden trends such as scatter gardens for the lazy gardener, underused edibles like immature sweet corn, carrot tops, radish pods, and squash blossoms, and gardening in the golden years with no-till gardens and microgreens. Crabs is growing 25 kinds of microgreens, basil, cilantro, broccoli, beet, chives, and others. She will talk about this new garden trend and allow people to taste the greens at the lunch. That'll be good to eat, huh? I'm losing my place again, sorry. The second program, 8 months of color in the garden, will have you dreaming of beautiful blooms with Vermilion County Master Gardener Pat Sollers. Sollers, who has been gardening since she was a child, has been featured on numerous garden walks, holds her own annual plant sale, and heads the Master Gardener Speakers Bureau. Sollers also collects perennials with more than 300 types in her Danville garden. She will share what plants provide long-lasting color in her garden and offer tips on how to get your perennials to thrive, providing you with gorgeous blooms from early spring through late autumn. This week, three master gardeners were getting baskets and items ready for the big day. Cassie Mitchell said people should come because the programs are informative and gardeners can learn and about new techniques and trends. Julie Colby printed out that all proceeds support local projects in Vermilion County, such as community gardens at the Center for Children's Services and the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System, as well as the Herb Garden at Kennecott County Park. Auctions and vendors. Silent auction items include a heavy-duty yard cart donated by Big R that has a quick-release lever to dump contents. Hobby Camp Greenhouse from International Greenhouse Supply. 12 yards of compost delivered by River Bottom Farms. Bur Oak trees from Possibility Place Nursery. A basket to fill at Ludwig Farmstead Creamery near Oakwood. And parties hosted by the Danville Art League and painting the town. There are some wonderful prizes, Hanrahan said. Excuse me. There's something for everybody there. Vendors include Shuren Nursery with a variety of succulents, the Herb Basket with bath salts and lotions made with home-grown herbs, Ashley Drake Origami Owl, hand-designed wrought iron garden art, all handmade, Veronica Stephen Naturals, Barry's Garden Center, Sandy's Breads and More, Danville Lutheran School, Boland Chiropractic, You Poo Compost, a lamb will be on the site, Ilana FS Garden Tools, Bulbs, Seeds and More, Walt's Acres Raised Beds and Local Honey, and Possibility Place Nursery with Native Plants. Profits from Garden Day are used to fund and maintain Master Gardener educational programs and community projects in Vermilion County. FYI, to reserve your spot, stop by the Vermilion County Extension Office at 3164 North Vermilion Street to pay $25 by cash or check. You may wait and pay $30 at the door, but space is limited, and in recent years, the event sold out with no room for walk-ins. Sorry. To pay by credit card, visit the website. go.illinois.edu/gardenday. Credit card payments can be accepted only online. If you have questions, call the U of I Extension Office at 442-8615 and ask for Jenny Hanrahan. Okay, the next story is titled Veterans Experience 2017. Art that's helped them cope going on display. And there's a picture. It says Iraq combat veteran Judy Brown of Hinsdale, Indiana, adjusts dog tags on part of her dog tags quilt display Wednesday at Veterans Experience 2017 at Danville Art League. Written by Noelle McGee. After graduating from high school in 1986, Judy Brown enlisted in the Army, thinking the military would offer her more opportunities than she had in her Virginia town where she spent summers pulling tobacco. But the young private's dreams of traveling the world and serving her country and someday furthering her education were shattered when she was sexually assaulted by a fellow service member at Fort Jackson, South Carolina. When you're in the Army, you're trained to protect yourself from an enemy with a foreign land, said Brown, who now lives in Hillsdale, Indiana. You're not trained to protect yourself from an enemy in the military. You thought the Army was your family. You didn't expect them being the enemy. Brown developed post-traumatic stress disorder from the assault and from serving a tour in Iraq in 2009 during another stint in the Army. When she returned, she was presented with a small patriotic quilt at Fort Dix, New Jersey. That inspired me to help other veterans, said Brown, who along with six other women has been designing and sewing quilts of honor for other veterans throughout the county, the country for the last 5 or so years. It's become my therapy, she said, of quilting. I can express myself with different pieces of fabric and tell my story. Every soldier has a story. And no two are the same, just like no two quilts are the same. One of Brown's personal creations, Dog Tags, is on display at Veterans Experience 2017, a special exhibit in the Danville Art League showcasing art by veterans. This is the fifth year for the show, but put on by the Art League and Recreation Therapy Service at the Veterans Affairs Ileana Healthcare System. It's been great to see these veterans learn how to express themselves in different artistic ways, said Susie Robison, a recreation therapist at the Veteran Hospital who introduced art as therapy to veterans suffering from mental health issues such as PTSD, military sexual trauma, depression and addiction, those with physical disabilities, and those experiencing homelessness. Some veterans were reluctant to try at first, fearing they wouldn't be any good at it, Robison said. That's how they feel about a lot of things in life, she said. But Robison persisted, knowing the art could provide a healthy coping mechanism, allowing them to process trauma and express their feelings instead of bottling them up inside. She said some of the veterans have shown real artistic ability, including a Decatur man who is showing paintings of a tank, a tiger, and an alligator, and another who is now submitting his poetry to national writing programs. They and others have developed their self-esteem and camaraderie with others that they didn't have before. I love hearing all of the stories behind the art, Robinson said, and I love watching the veterans grow and be proud of their work and realize they have purpose and value. The result, more than 70 pieces, including drawings, acrylic and oil paintings, photographs, wood and ceramic sculptures, poetry, and textiles from veterans served by the Danville Medical Center or one of Ileana's community outpatient clinics located in Decatur, Mattoon, Springfield, and Peoria. Brown was moved to create dog tags by the 22 veterans who are lost each day to suicide and an effort in her state to help Indiana veterans with PTSD and traumatic brain injury with hyperbaric oxygen therapy, or HBOT. The 64 by 84 quilt is adorned with 22 stars, a bald eagle representing military servicemen and women's strengths and courage, and above it, a set of dog tags with the engravings PTSD and TBI. If you want to go to this, the Veterans Experience 2017 Art Show opens today and runs through March 30th at Danville Art League, 320 North Franklin Street. It is free and open to the public from 6 to 9 p.m. Mondays and 9 a.m. to noon Tuesdays through Saturday. People can meet the artists at the show at the open house from 1 to 3 p.m. on March 11th. Refreshments will be provided. Sounds like it'd be pretty neat to see. It's kind of a neat thing for the veterans that need the help. So, well, that's pretty well it. Got about a minute left here, so I guess I'll jabber on like I did last week. How about them Illini last night? Did pretty good, didn't they? Hopefully they can do good in the tournament starting later this week and maybe be able to go to Big Ten, the big thing. So, but we'll wait and see, I guess. So I guess that'll be it for today. On Thursday, March 2nd, 2017. Hope you all enjoy the nice weather we're supposed to get this weekend. It's a little cold today. I kind of like that 60-degree weather we've been having. Little unusual, but anyway, it's nice. So anyway, I hope you all have a good week, and I'll see you again next Thursday. Take care. Bye.